Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a sorrow this bold and beloved Peter was. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he had almost shouted in response to the question of Christ at Caesarea Philippi. In the middle of a troubled sea, he had ventured forth in faith after sounding the word, "Lord, if it is you, let me come to you in the water." Even if all others fail, I will not, Peter had said. And he had sought to make good on that promise in the midst of the Garden of Gethsemane, drawing his sword and lashing out, cutting off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. What a loyal follower he was. What a fearless fighter. What a staunch confessor. And what a fear. "This shall never happen to you, Lord." He had responded to Jesus' announcement of his impending death. And Jesus had said, "Out of my sight, Satan, you're a stumbling block to me. You're not thinking the things of God, but the things of men." "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three shelters," he had said on the Mount of Transfiguration. For Mark tells us, Peter was so frightened he didn't know what to say. How about those hours of Jesus' sweat and blood in the secluded garden? "Son, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" And again, the evangelist notes, Simon didn't know what to say to him. Then comes the event of our text. "I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm not associated with him. I don't even know the man. I have nothing to do with him." What a fool. What a fool. But that's the way it always is with sin. Sin is foolishness. It makes no sense. It contradicts everything that is reasonable and worthy and good and right and true and proper and just. And Peter's denial of Jesus is a prime example of this foolishness of sin. It is simply nonsensical. Nothing made Peter deny his Lord. There were temptations, sure there were. The physical comfort of being able to stand by a fire and warm himself. The pure pleasure of the group of soldiers and servants and bystanders. The mistaken self-security of a weak and tired flesh. The all-out spiritual warfare waged by the Father of lies, and Peter chose in victory. Temptation abounded. Yet consider what else there was. 3 years of concentrated instruction in the spirit revealed truth that Jesus of Nazareth is the long awaited God, man, Savior, and rescuer of all mankind. Countless hours sitting at the feet of the Master and drinking deeply of the water of life. Miracles which you could hardly believe. A clear and sober word of warning against the very sin to which Peter was tempted. The spiritual nourishment of the first Lord's Supper. With all this in the background, what could possibly have made Peter deny his Lord? The answer is nothing. It just didn't make sense. Peter had no excuse. He broke down and left. Aren't the parallels between Simon and ourselves rather obvious? Nothing makes us sin either. There are temptations, here they are. The physical comfort of being able to fill our stomachs with food and drink and enjoy ourselves, even at the expense of others. The pure culture present in a world of money madness and immorality. The mistaken self-security of a lazy and indolent flesh. The no-holds-barred campaign of principalities and powers and the prince of this world's darkness. Temptations abound. But there are some other things to consider also. We have seen and have believed, most of us, from very early in our lives, that Jesus of Nazareth is the long-awaited Messiah, the Redeemer, the ransom for the sins of all the world. We gather daily here in chapel to sing his praises. We eat of the bread and drink of the cup, which are his own body and blood, and strengthen and preserve us in true faith into life everlasting. We read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's warning word of law and his enlivening word of grace. What could possibly make us sin? The answer is nothing. It just doesn't make sense. We have no excuse. Sometimes publicly, more often privately, we break down and weep. For we, like Peter, are sinners. We know we are. Our old nature doesn't want to have anything more to do with Christ than Peter did in the time of his betrayal. We may not have sworn in public recently that we didn't know Jesus, but have we not denied him by our words and actions when we take his name in vain, or when we neglect the preaching of his word, or when we fail to share the mutual consolation of the gospel in the everyday affairs of life? Certainly we and Peter come under the condemnation expressed in our first lesson today. We have not been the children of God according to our own actions and words and deeds. We have not followed God's ways, and we therefore deserve all of the evil and adversity which his law threatens to rain down upon us. And to whom shall we turn for the living? To none other than to him whom Peter and we have all alike denounced. To the Lamb of God, led as a sheep to the slaughter, to take away the sins of the world. For only he can show us both the foolishness of our sin and the fullness of our salvation. He has taken upon himself the oppressive weight of our delinquency. He has rushed in as our substitute where even angels fear to tread, the fool in the place of us fools, and bearing to the death the rod which had otherwise struck us a fatal blow. And he has conquered that foolishness which is sin in his own triumphant and majestic resurrection, thereby opening a door for us poor fools to be brought into the wisdom and power and wealth and strength and honor and glory and praise of God. Beware the foolishness of sin. Be wise in the saving ways of God. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen.